Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, there are many things I could share with you about being a confessional Lutheran pastor. I want to share a couple of them with you. I remember well one of my professors who had what I call a tirade during one of his classes. We had been to chapel that morning, and his class was right after that, and we were all waiting for him. He walked in the door. He addressed us seminarians with a tirade that sounded something like this, except with a New Jersey accent. But it went something like this: guys, preach the text. Guys, preach the text. Guys, preach the text. And it got louder and louder and louder, and it lasted for quite a while. Guys, preach the text. And I'll never forget it. So no matter what the lectionary readings are for the week, you can blame this professor. I preach the text each Sunday. I am, after all, a simple man who carries no bells or whistles as a pastor. I do what I was trained to do. I preach the text. And the sermon will come from the Word of God, not from my sinful heart or wretched soul or feeble mind. And the text that I will preach this morning is Romans 7:13. Don't you know, brothers and sisters, that the law is binding on a person only while he's alive? In this respect, the law is like a woman being married. Marriage laws only apply to her while her husband is alive. If her husband dies before she does, then she is free to marry again and not be called an adulteress. In a similar manner, dear ones, you have died to the law. Your old marriage to sin and death and the devil has ended. Because you died to sin and devil and death and the devil in the waters of holy baptism, you have, in a sense, remarried, more than just a sense. You are a member of the body of Christ through death in baptism. You live a new life so that you bear the fruits of faith for God in Christ. While you lived in the flesh that was ruled by sinful desires and passions, the law of God attacked you and increased your rebellion against God, leading you to eternal condemnation and death. But by death in the waters of baptism, you've been released from the law of sin and death. You've become a spiritual person who lives by faith in the Son of God, not one who lives and dies by the Ten Commandments. Thanks be to God for that. So, dear ones, what shall we say about all this? Is the law of God something that is bad for us? No. 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 The law is not bad for us. No more than evil-tasting medicine is bad for us. No more than surgery, which rips and tears at the flesh, is bad for us. No more than anything which hurts us in order to make us well again is bad for us. The law shows us our sin. We wouldn't know that coveting things is sin had not the Ten Commandments shown us. So it is with all sin and the Ten Commandments. But the extent of the law does not stop with just showing the sinner his sin. When the law is applied to unrepentant sinners, it actually increases the extent of the sin. It inflames the sin like throwing gasoline on water. I'm talking about the unrepentant sinner who refuses to acknowledge his sin. The law increases our rebellion against God while we live in the flesh. The scriptures, and in particular the book of Romans, teach us that as we live our lives as Christians, as we grow in understanding of the scriptures and of the law and of the Christian faith, we understand more and more just how sinful we are. And also just how much Christ did for us when he died on the cross. This is the scriptural, and the Lutheran, by the way, teaching on sanctification. We who believe in Christ are at the same time sinners and saints in this life. And there is that tension in us between the sinner and the saint, between the old man and the new man. And that tension will last until we die. Thanks be to God for that tension. The unbeliever has no tension. There is no tension. He goes on fat, happy, and dumb, refusing to acknowledge his sin and repent all the way to the end. For those who haven't died to sin in the waters of baptism, sin and the law can be very deceptive. Paul said the law deceived him. The law commanded Paul to live a perfect life. The law commanded Paul not to sin, and Paul thought he had kept the law. But the truth of the matter is that through the law, though the law commands us all to stop sinning, we cannot stop. Neither did Paul stop sinning. Nevertheless, the law is good, and the law is holy, and the law is righteous. But does the law, which is good and holy and righteous, bring death to us? No, dear ones, it is sin which brings death to us through the law, so that sin may be shown to be what it is. Through the law, that is, through the Ten Commandments, sin can be revealed as it exists in our lives and separates us from God. And so, that all this discussion from Romans is not just theory, the law must be applied so that sin can be revealed. And so, brothers and sisters, we live in a culture today, in this country, that has so obscured sin by withholding the law of God that many nowadays do not know what is sin and what is not sin. Our government has even confused things more by declaring some things to be lawful that are sinful before God. As your pastor, as one who has been called to warn you, even if it is for a short time, it is my duty to point out sin so that you will know for sure that sin is sin. So I point out to you this morning that according to the scriptures, according to the word of God, that homosexuality is adultery. Homosexuality is called an abomination in scripture. Homosexuality is sin and violates the sixth commandment. No matter what the U.S. government says, it's sin before God. And then there is the absolute horror of abortion. Abortion is murder of the weakest and most vulnerable among us. Since Roe versus Wade was declared law in 1973, there have been over 1 million abortions, that is, murders of the unborn in this country per year. Somewhere between 45 and 75 million murders of Jesus' little babies. Abortion is sin. Because abortion is murder, no matter what the U.S. government says. Abortion is a violation of the fifth commandment. These things have become so ingrained into our culture that many do not recognize them as sin any longer. But God does not change, and his law does not change. If you have sinned, any of you, if you have sinned in either of the above areas, you are hereby called to repentance. Repent. Confess your sins to God. That is, be sorry for what you have done. Ask God to forgive you. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even these two sins, God will forgive. Repent. Confess that what you have done was sinful against God, and ask God to forgive you. God will forgive you because His Son died for you and has already paid for your sins. What a shame it would be to waste that forgiveness. Repent. If you have done these things, you can join the rest of God's sinners, we, all of us, who have sinned in these ways, maybe, and in many other ways, and have been forgiven. Repent of your sin, period, when you break God's law. God forgives you because His Son died for you, and you have died to sin in the waters of baptism. You are a new man of faith. You are a new woman of faith. Always believe the Holy Scriptures when the laws of sinful mankind speak to the contrary. Always believe the Holy Scriptures when the laws of sinful mankind, even the U.S. government, speak to the contrary. One more time. Always believe the Holy Scriptures when the laws of sinful mankind speak to the contrary. We live, dear ones, as Christians by faith in God's promises. Faith clings to a promise, and we cling to God's promises. Repent, be forgiven, believe. That is the baptismal life we live until our last breath. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.